This morning, I'm going to talk about choice and the gift of choice. We're blessed because God's given us the gift of free will, and we get to choose every day when we wake up to choose God or not, to choose wisely or not. We choose how to respond to the circumstances in our lives, and it's a blessing. Throughout the Bible, God recommends that we choose wisely. And he's always telling us, I've set before you life and death, listen to these words, all the way through the Psalms. It's like, I'm listening to God, I'm tuning into what God's telling me. And this gift is valuable for us. But we're in a time of new beginnings. So we've learned at the beginning of August, Mike shared about, I don't know if you remember, Mike did a presentation teaching on 888, new beginnings, how unusual that was, all the occurrences in August. And we've started that time now. So over the past 5 years, we've been in a time of transition. We've had a series of teaching. Mike's done intensive teaching for us on inheritance and destiny, who we are in God, Joshua Generation. We have all this teaching available to us on the website. If you've not actually accessed it, then I really would encourage you to access it. Have a look at that teaching. There's some fundamental stuff there that we need to know about ourselves and what God's speaking to us about over the coming years and how we need to progress forward. But all this teaching has actually been preparing us for this time now, this new beginning that we're in. Because we all have an eternal destiny with God, we know that, we've been talking about this for a long time. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And it's up to us to seek him out, to find out what that destiny is. So it is our choice to embrace it. Now, this is a prophetic timetable. Some of you will be familiar with this. On the teaching that I've just sort of spoke about that's on the website, this has been progressive. You can see that we started off with fatherhood, sonship, and royal identity, and the call to intimacy. This is where we started more than 5 years ago, of seeking God, understanding him more, and about improving our relationship with him. We have been through a difficult time, gathering and removing of stumbling blocks. Again, these things are ongoing. It's not a start and a finish. This is an ongoing process. And at the moment, we're in the process of the start of judgment of God's household. So a little while ago, we learned from Mike, Mike shared with us what God had showed him about God's already started to judge his church. Now, judgment is not the same as punishment. And that's really important to understand. When we say that God is going to be judging his church, we're not saying that he's going to be punishing his church. We're saying, does it line up with what God wants his church to look like? Do we line up with what he wants us to look like? So it's an evaluation, a weighing up against what God says it should be like. Does it look like how God wants it to look and not how we think it should look? Because there's a big difference. If it doesn't look the way it should look to God, then he will withdraw from that. So in Matthew 21:43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And that's the process we're in at the moment. God is looking at his household. Does it reflect him? But what will he see when he looks at you and I? Do we reflect him? Are we actually a true reflection of God at the moment? So when God looks at us to judge us, to see where are we? Are we a reflection of God? It's not actually to bring death, and it's not to bring, as I said before, punishment, it's to bring life. So God, as a parent, he loves us more than we can understand, more than we can even comprehend. And that does come with discipline. So as parents, we know we have to discipline children. There is no, yeah, do what you like. Because, you know, the other day I was praying and asking God about one of our sons. It's like, God, I just want him to understand that I'm saying these things because I love him. And, you know, God spoke straight back to me and said, that's how I, you know, I'm saying these things to you because I love you, not because I want to harm you, not because I'm punishing you. It's actually because of love. So that love comes with correction and discipline. And he directs our paths. That's what, you know, the Psalms are about. God, direct my path. God, show me the way to go. So that I'm not choosing unwisely, so that I'm not actually trying to do things in my own strength, but I'm actually looking to God for what I need. But he wants us to come to him voluntarily. It's not, he won't force himself on us. We know that about God. We know that he calls us with a still small voice. He doesn't yell at us and say, oi, come here, I told you that. He speaks to us quietly, he speaks to our spirit. And that's why we need to quiet ourselves and listen to him. So he wants the very best for us to operate in the fullness of our destiny, because then we can bring his kingdom. To have an intimate relationship with him, because the more time we spend with him, the more time we will become like him. You can't say that you want to be like God, but then not spend any time with him, because it doesn't actually translate very well. It doesn't work at all, in fact. So our blueprint as a church is to equip a Joshua generation. We've talked about this before. Mike talked about it in all the teaching series that we've been doing. And to equip is to prepare or supply someone with the necessary tools or abilities for a particular task or purpose. So as a church, we've been called to equip people, to prepare them, to teach them. So the particular task or purpose that God's called us to prepare and equip people for is for equipping the labourers for the harvest, of the billionfold harvest. But we need to know God intimately in order to learn those things. In order to equip others, we need to know it ourselves. We need to know what God is saying to me and what God is saying to you, so that we can then pass it on. It's like, what is our destiny in Christ? How do we know what God is saying and God wants us to pass it on unless we have that intimate relationship with him? So we're in this process of equipping. But why does God want us to equip people for this? It's not just for, it's just what God wants. It's actually, it burns inside of me that people are dying out there with actually, really, without understanding the eternal consequences of the choices they've made in life. If they don't know that they chose badly in life, we know where they're going to end up. But they don't know. It's up to us to share that with them. It's up to us to demonstrate that God is real, that God is light, and that God wants to see people saved. It says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's not beating people with a stick. That's not saying that you've been bad, you've sinned, you're awful people. It's like God is a loving God, and he wants people to know that love. And how are people going to know that love if not through us? So it's not about us. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. God wants to see people saved, healed, delivered. All those things that we read about, and it's up to us to change, to be the people that God called us to be, but then to pass it on, to not hold on to it. It's not just a gift that we keep to ourselves. It's a gift that we pass around. You know, frequently we talk about we're blessed to be a blessing. Okay, what is salvation if not a blessing? We need to pass it on. So it's about learning his plans and purposes for our lives so that we can legislate and administer his kingdom. So this choice between the old and the new, this new beginning, what is that choice? What are we actually having to choose between? This new beginning is the end of the old order, or the end of the old system, if you like, church system. So we're going from slavery into sonship. Again, we've covered this. We know that, you know, we're not slaves anymore. Actually, we have an inheritance in Christ. That inheritance is not to be captive, it's to be free in Christ. The Bible says, you know, about us maturing and moving from milk to solid food. So when we have children and, you know, they're babies and you feed them and you progress through a system. You give them milk and then you wean them and you give them solid food, and sometimes it's messy. But then as they get older, it's you expect them to do things for themselves. So the boys got to 12 and we decided, actually, you need to learn how to iron, because it's a life skill. Not that they iron anymore, but they do know how to. So now they don't mind if they wear crumpled clothes, and I have to get over that fact. So, but they know how to iron. We taught them how to iron. It's like they know how to make their sandwiches for school. It's like we taught them. It's like if you want a packed lunch, then you know we'll provide the ingredients for you, but you need to learn how to make it. You need to be responsible for doing your own lunch. And so gradually, over a period of time, we've introduced this maturity. So Jake, our oldest, has gone off to university, and then we're teaching, you know, he knows how to shop. Whereas previously, he didn't know how to shop. It's like, well, the food magically appears, doesn't it? And so, you know, over like the last summer, it's about teaching them and training him and showing him, like, this is how you shop, you know. Preferably go with the list, because then at least you'll come out with something that you want, and it will make some kind of sense to be able to make a meal. So, you know, we're in this process of going from being fed milk to actually learning how to eat solid food. God wants us to grow up into our responsibilities. So it's the end of the earthly pastoral ministry, where that is... We'll hear God for you, so your leaders, your minister, your pastor, whatever church you're in, whatever the leaders are called, will hear God for you and tell you what he's saying. Or we'll teach you how to hear God for yourself. We'll show you that you can have that relationship with God yourself. Not to be independent, but so that we can all hear God collectively. And then we're in agreement. We're all listening to God's plans and purposes. We all know what they are, and we all know what they are specifically for us. Not what I tell you it should be for you, but what God tells you it should be for you. So we're in this period where God is calling us to take responsibility as grown-ups. So why do you have to choose? Why are we saying that there's this choice that's coming? Several months ago, we were worshipping and I had this really vivid experience with God. I was in the spirit and I found myself, I knew I was here. I knew I was on the altar stone, but I also knew I was in the desert. And I was worshipping in the desert with God. And eventually I realised that the whole church was behind me, so we were all there worshipping. It's kind of like as we are at the front here, you know, worshipping. And then I saw there was a split, a crack in the ground opened up right before me. And it started to widen really quickly. It happened really quickly. And I had to jump to avoid falling down the middle. And I knew instinctively that God wanted me to jump to the left. I just knew it in my spirit. And I jumped, and most of us jumped in the same direction. We jumped to the left, but some people jumped to the right, or some people didn't jump at all. And I asked God, why did that open up directly in front of my feet? Because, you know, I knew that there was going to be a dividing. I knew that the new was coming and the old was going. We've been talking about it, you know, we've had the teaching about it. It wasn't news. But I asked her, why did it happen directly in front of my feet? Why did I have to jump so quickly? Why did I have to move? And God said, it's because you need to make a choice. There is no middle ground. There is no fence for you to stand on. There is no, not sure, because for those people who dithered, they ended up probably in a place that they didn't want to be in. So God wants us to make a definite choice. And the reason I'm sharing this is because we don't want you to be in a position where you don't know that God is asking you to choose. Now, I'll go on and explain some more. But Joshua 1, chapter 1, 1 to 3. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. So we don't want you to dither in your choice. We want you to know that there is a choice, and not to walk into it by default. Not just to walk into it because you come to this church. Because this is our blueprint, our plan, or destiny as a church that God has given us, is to equip people. And we want you to know that that's our destiny as a church, and not that you're here just by default. That you have a choice because God's given us the gift of free will. So we've started a three-year preparation in 2012, and that time is now up. Obviously, it was 2015. My maths is just about that good. That's definitely 3 years. So, in Isaiah 40, 3-5, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. So there's a choice between doing things the old way and doing things the new way. God describes it as life or death because God is in the new way. Now, I'm not saying that if people stay in the old way that they won't have a relationship with God or that God won't be there. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that what God's been speaking to us and talking to us about is that God is in the new. God is in the mature sons. God is in giving inheritance for his sons. God is in us growing up, and he needs people to pioneer that. And he's asked us to be pioneers, to move forward, which is what all this training and teaching has been about over the past few years. The removing of the stumbling blocks, the getting into the intimacy with God, so that we can be those people to pass it on and to not drop the baton. What's happened in the past is that the old system, when a new movement of God came, the old system would just reject it and sort of protect what they've got and not pass on and grow and move into the new thing. And actually what we're saying is we need to equip people to move into the new move of God, to follow him, to go forward, to take ground. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. So, after they crossed the River Jordan, after Joshua and Caleb took them across, they were circumcised because they'd been wandering in the desert for 40 years and they hadn't actually been following that custom in the desert. And so all of the old people who had come out of Egypt had died, and so this was a new generation and none of them had been circumcised. So they were circumcised when they crossed the river. And that was a time of refining. You know, there will be a time of preparation for us as we cross in and make a declaration, because obviously the news already started, we've already embraced it, but it's about the intent of our hearts. There will be a time of preparation, of being refined, which actually may be uncomfortable, in truth. But that was necessary. In Joshua, God said, "Today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you," which means that all the old stuff, all the old thinking of being a slave, of not being brave enough, if you like, to cross the Jordan when they were given the opportunity 40 years previously, for not believing God, for whining, whinging, all those things that they did when they were in the desert, and all their sort of poor thinking, if you like, that kept them as slaves in their heads, because it wasn't actually, they weren't slaves at that time, was actually, they were, that was removed from them. They were consecrated again, they were refined again. So, really, when you think about making a choice, what I want you to think about is, what is your soul saying to you at the moment? You know, what, or maybe familiar spirits, what's going on inside that might stop you from actually making a choice of moving into the new and operating in the new effectively? We've had teaching on it, and so we're familiar with it in theory, but actually what would stop us from operating like this in practice, living our lives like this in practice? You know, it could be feeling a bit of not being worthy, I can't do this, I've got nothing to add, that's not for me, well, I can't be like them, whoever them is, because actually, you know, we're all learning, we're all beginners at this, with the possible exception of Mike, who's slightly further ahead than the rest of us. But even Mike will tell you that he's still learning, he's still encountering things that he didn't know last week. So we're all in that process of learning, you know, it's like every day we're learning. You know, I'm not the same person as I was last week or last year, and I'm almost unrecognizable as the person I was 10 years ago. Because we're constantly changing, we're moving with what God is showing us, we're being refined and purified. So really, I want to know, are you listening to any lies? Are you going to allow the enemy to say to you, "You can't really do that, that's not for you"? Or are you going to deal with that? The choice is not about how you're feeling about this, because God told Joshua 3 times, he was emphatic, "Only be strong and courageous." So it makes you wonder whether Joshua felt strong and courageous. If God kept telling him, "Be strong and courageous," you know, what was going on inside Joshua's head? He's like, he's got these rabble of people who, you know, moaned and were, you know, constantly moaning at God for, you know, "We've just got bread and nothing else." Not the fact that God was giving them bread and they didn't have to do anything for it. So we're all in this process of learning. And God has told us that actually he's looking for willing amateurs. So you have to be willing. You don't have to be fixed. You don't have to know everything. You don't need to be perfect. You don't even have to be ready. You just need to be willing. So I think the important thing is, now listen to what the Spirit, your Spirit is telling you. Because your Spirit is connected to truth. Your Spirit is deep inside, knows who God's called you to be. So in Psalm 139:16, it says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." So at the beginning, before we were born, but when we were formed in God's heart, he knew us, and he still knows us. He knows what's going on inside of us. Okay, and what we need to see is how God sees us. Is that how we see us? So the question is, are we willing to be the people God created us to be? Jeremiah 1:5, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. So if you're listening to or hearing, you can't do this, you're not worthy, you will never know how to function in the heavenly courts. The stuff that Mike's teaching is just like way up there, you can't do that. What are you on about? Don't even think about it. Okay, that is not truth. That's not what God says about you. That's actually a big fat lie. So we have a choice. It's like, again, that freedom of choice. Do I choose that big fat lie, or do I choose, no, actually, I'm going to believe what God says about me. I'm going to believe that all things are possible with Christ. So next week, we'll be asking you to make a choice. Am I willing to embrace the new? Am I willing to improve and work on my relationship with God to the point of, I know God intimately? It's like, one of my favourite verses is, I have the mind of Christ. And that's for all of us. It's like, I want the mind of Christ. It is, I don't want what goes on in my mind, I want his mind. You know, and that's for us, that we have a choice. So if you're struggling to understand where you fit and what this might mean for you in terms of your destiny and learning how to do this stuff, then we've got a C evening coming up on Wednesday. And we want to talk it through. We want to say, actually, what might be the blockages that would stop you from actually embracing what God's got for you? Because this is not about what we're doing as a church, although we are doing this together. This is about what God's got for each of us individually, because God puts us in community. So we're in a community here, and we're part of the church, okay? And you don't actually need to understand everything. You just need to be with someone who can teach you and show you how to go to God and get that revelation for yourself. That's the process we're in. That's what we're asking. Are you willing to be taught? And then once you know on the inside, actually, this is how I live my life. You know, you want people to be coming up to you and saying, what have you got? You are so different. And then you can sit down with them and say, actually, I've got God. And this is how it is. You can have a relationship with him. Not, yeah, I'm different, aren't I? It's about passing it on. It's about actually blessed to be a blessing. It's about changing the world one person at a time. Saving the world one person at a time by them knowing that what Jesus has done for them. It's not through us. It's not about us. We don't want people to look at us and say, well, you're great. We want people to look at and say, well, surely you must have God with you, because you couldn't possibly be that great. We want people to see God. We want people to see the light, not us. We don't want people to say, wow, look at what Freedom Church are doing. We want people to say, wow, God is at Freedom Church. Not, aren't they great? It's like, isn't God great? Because God is great. It's not about us. So next week we're going to be looking at this choice, and the question is, am I willing to be an amateur in the new? Am I willing to learn so that I can pass it on to others, so that I can be transformed into the image of Jesus, so that I can be the light in the world and not part of the darkness? We don't want to add to the darkness, we want to be light, because it's going to get darker and we need to shine brighter. So we will be having this, an outward demonstration, if you like, of our commitment of crossing the Jordan. Now, back at the beginning of August, we walked across the flags, and that was a demonstration of our commitment. So it doesn't mean to say that if you don't walk across the flags, that you've not made that commitment, because God's looking at the heart. God sees what's inside. It's like we can't hide it from him, even if we can hide it from each other, and sometimes we even lie to ourselves. But nor does it mean that if you walk across the flags that your heart's right either. So it's a heart decision. What we're doing next week is just an outward demonstration of our commitment. So there'll be, as a government of 12, we'll be walking across the flags, as the Bench of 7 and 3 and all the mountains that we have, again, will be the benches of the mountains, we'll be walking across as a demonstration of, actually, we're operating in the new. we're actually embracing what God is showing us, and that's our outward demonstration. But it is a heart issue. So as we do this, we don't do this as individuals. We do this as a community, because God's put us together. So it's not about, although we have an individual relationship with God, actually we're there to support one another. So if we walk across, if I say, actually, yes, I'm willing to be mature, I want to embrace my relationship with God, embrace the new teaching that God's given us to be able to legislate and administer his kingdom on earth. That's not me on my own. That's me as part of a community. You know, there's a bench of three for this church, and we seek God together. Is everything that God's telling us, does it line up? If one of us is completely over there and the other two are over there, then actually there's something missing. But that's never happened, because we step in together and we each get a piece of the puzzle. So we, each of us, our destinies at this moment in time are intertwined to bring kingdom to earth, not so that actually I can retreat, be independent, and I have a relationship with God, therefore I don't need to go to church, I don't need to do anything, because actually we need to understand what's our destiny. And we do that together. We learn together. We help each other. We support one another in community. So as we cross the Jordan, if you want somebody to walk with you as a demonstration, if you want somebody to link arms with you, if you want somebody to stand with you and say, why is it I can't get this? That's what we're here for. We're here as a community to overcome those issues, because God wants us to live in relationship with one another and not independently. So finally, okay, Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That is what we're doing. That is what actually we're in the process of transformation for, purification for, refining for. You are called for such a time as this. I am called for such a time as this. It's not an accident that you're living at this time. It's like God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for each one of us, and it's up to us to embrace it. So I'm going to pass you over to Deb. Obviously, we want any questions, anything like that. Obviously, you can speak to us after the meeting, or Wednesday, ideal time just to come. If you've got things going on that are stopping you actually from understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for you, what that might be, then let's talk about it. Let's get rid of those things that will stop you from being the person God created you to be. That's what the C evening's about, so that actually we can learn to be equipped in the supernatural, to know what God's calling us to do and be. So I'm going to pass you over to Deb. She's got something to share.
Lesson. Lesson. PowerPoint. Book. But it's all okay.
Yes, it is.
I just want to share some things that happened recently for us when we were on the Good News Mountain. As you know, we have various spheres of authority in the church, and Emma, Carol and myself all stand on the Good News Mountain. And a few weeks ago, we were praying and we stepped into heaven together to see what God was saying. And the first thing, Emma had saw a wolf, which was prowling around. And she said, why is there a wolf? What's going on? And she said, the wolf is an opportunist to pick people off. So she said, well, why is he here? What right has the wolf got to be prowling around? And it was mistrust. So, first thing. I had been praying, and God had shown me a room inside the mountain, and I'd gone down into this room, and I thought it was a treasure room. It was beautiful. It was gold. It looked lovely. And as I got further into the room, I realised it wasn't a treasure room. It was a furnace, and it was very hot. And I heard gold refined in the fire, and then I realised, okay, so I'm in a fire. And
fire in context of everything we're talking about is refining, purity, cleansing. And I heard, to get our good news, which is freedom, deliverance, wholeness, inheritance, destiny, whatever it is you might like to call good news, salvation, whatever it might be, we need to go through the fire. And that means surrender, sacrifice, dealing with all of those things that aren't very pleasant in our life and asking God's fire to come and to burn them all up. And are we prepared to go through the fire? And all of a sudden I saw all these words, all the hindrances as to why we can't go through the fire. Cost is too great, fear, control, you know, I'll go so far, but I'm not prepared to do that. There were all sorts of things, too painful, that were sort of flashed across my eyesight. And then after that, I continued praying a little bit, and I saw like gems and stone, beautiful stones, everything coming up to the surface, which is what happens when gold is purified and refined. The gold comes to the surface after the dross has all been burnt up. And then Carol, at the same time, so we'd all seen these things at the same time, she saw a brick wall before us with people trying to walk into their destinies and God's plans, but their past was stopping them and holding them back. And she saw in the spirit realm a ooky thing. You know, often we talk about things in the spiritual realm. They could be giants or dragons, or, you know, I've said mine looks like Jabba the Hutt before, you know, or they're just blockages, things in the spiritual realm that can hinder us. And she saw this horrible creature that looked like an octopus, a really tall octopus that had tentacles that were winding around people, that were keeping people in bondage and holding people back. So then we all shared what we'd seen. So you can see that's why I shared them all, because there's a little bit of a picture there. So then we stepped back into heaven together and said, okay, so we need to know what does this mean? What's the relevance of all of these things? And how does this fit if there's like an octopus thing?
Yay!
I am a technical person. I can press that button. Obviously we didn't see that, but this best describes what we saw. We saw a big body with these horrible big tentacles out that were hanging around people, with two pillars that were anchoring it and making it strong, which were feeding all the other things. And between us, we got all the things. So the middle part we thought was death. Now I'm not talking about necessarily physical death. It's just death to whatever it is that God wants to do. And the tentacles, pride, rejection, self-pity, mistrust, hopelessness, guilt, shame, deception, fear. And then the pillars, the things that give strength to it, are generational sin, which Carol had seen holding to the past, and rebellion. Now, that was as much as we got at that point in time. We thought, okay, well, so we take it to the 12, which is obviously our government of the church, so we took to the 12. And really everyone was then, each of us who were there in offices of government, would say, well, go back, seek revelation on it, see what God is saying to how it relates to everyone. So the next time that we got together on our Good News Mountain, I'd really felt that we needed to go back and revisit the fire, the furnace that was inside of the mountain, because of all these hindrances, the blockages that I thought we need to do a court case on this. So we did a court case on what stops people surrendering to God at that point in time. And there was lots of accusations, you know, lots of reasons why people find it difficult to surrender. And when we came back and we looked at it, every single one of the accusations was on there. And all of a sudden I had this name that came, and it was Destiny Robber. And it was like, yeah, that's what the death is, death to destiny, death to everything that God has got for us, no matter what it is. And we're all unique and we're all different, but every single one of us has a destiny. And the aim of this thing is to stop us, to hold us back. So we took it back to the 12 on our behalf. And we're encouraged that each level of government within the church, so each of the seven mountains, each of the benches, the seven, the 12, you know, all of us, we need to deal with this. We need to take to, you know, see what the accusations are, how it affects each aspect of the church. And actually, we need to do this individually. And we did it again on this week. We took it back and we did a court case. Well, how does Destiny Robber rob good news from us? What's good news? Good grief. Isaiah 51 is everything, isn't it? Everything. It robs every single area if it can. And how it works out is, if you look at it, you know, hopelessness. Well, nothing works. I've tried everything. You know, what's the point? It doesn't work for me. Self-pity. Oh, it's all right for you. You don't know what I've got to put up with. Fear. Well, fear is fear, isn't it? I can't do that. What will it mean? In every angle, in every one of those things, if we're honest, we need to go to God and say, how has this affected my life? How is it stopping me from moving forward? And even as Becky was sharing this morning, what's going through your head, as she said, because those will be the tentacles that are winding around that will want to hold you back. But it could be generational stuff. It could be stuff that's gone way, way, way back. You know, everybody in my family is fearful. It can be religious spirits that have been in place for a very long time that would want to hold you back and stop you moving forward into God's plans and purposes for you. Rejection is a really big one. Well, I don't fit, I don't belong, it's all right for them. We could go into those in great detail, but if you just ask God, he will show you if any of those relate to you from any way. And we really felt strongly, actually, with this whole call of stepping into the new, we really need to see this broken. Because Destiny Robber is the thing that will stop you stepping into the new. And it's not about understanding everything. In fact, you don't need to understand anything. There's lots of things I don't have a clue about. But actually, I want to know. I want to be part of this. I'm on my journey and I'm going, even though I don't understand it, because I don't have to understand it up here. But the Spirit knows. And that's the only part that if your spirit inside is going, yes, then your head's going, nah. Deal with that. And together, we can do court cases. We can go to court together on Wednesday. Come to the CE evening. Ask your questions. You know, if you think, well, I don't know if I'm even affected by any of that. I don't think so. Sounds a bit like pride, but you know. You could be sitting there thinking, I'm not going to be told what to do. I'm not going to stand over that line just because someone's telling me to. You have to ask, could rebellion be an issue? We're all affected by this in some way, and we all need to go freshly back to God, and we need to seek revelation for it, okay? But we're in this together. We don't have to do it on our own, and that's the thing that some of us really struggle with, which can come back to the mistrust, which was the wolf in the very first place. If you've been hurt before, if you feel you've been deceived before, we all could have old church stuff which is in the way, because this is not about church. This is about pursuing God. This is about bringing heaven to earth. This is about our own personal destinies, which come together and form a community of pioneers who are going to take the land. Yeah. So come talk to Becky on Wednesday.
That's called passing
the So as we come together now, and we're going to worship, you know, expect the fire of God to be here. Because it doesn't have to be complicated. It's just a willingness today. God can burn up things that need to be burnt up. Just be prepared today. If God really highlights something for you, you can get it sorted this morning. It's fine. But, as I say, just be open and just ask God to show you what he wants you to do.